Today's episode, cheese. Welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley podcast. We're exploring the food culture of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island. I am Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And today with us, we have Doug Smith from Natural Pastures Cheese.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we've been actually talking about how we really like to have you guys come in here and just talk about the cheese, because I think it's such a cornerstone of the Comox Valley.
I think you've been on our let's try to get them in list for about a year now. So well, glad to finally made it. Yeah, it's great.
And you were gracious enough to bring us some cheese to sample, so we'll be able to talk a little bit about those. But yeah. Let's start off by talking about yourself and how you got into cheese making.
Well, I've grown up in the Valley. I was born here. Family's been here for a long time. My grandfather came here when my dad was probably about 4 or 5 years old. They'd originally homesteaded in Saskatchewan and didn't like the weather.
Oh, wow.
So we've been dairy farmers. We were dairy farmers, and we've been dairy farmers for a long time. And we took over from my dad and my brothers and I. And
oh, yeah.
Opportunity came up to get into the cheese business, and we didn't really know a whole lot about it, but we hummed and hawed and said, okay, well, let's give it a try. And so in 2000, we started building a plant, and in 2001, we produced our first cheese.
Wow.
So we've been at it for quite a while now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and as John was saying, you definitely become a staple of the Valley. Like, everybody's aware and proud of the fact that Natural Pastures is, you know, Comox Valley brand, like, born and raised.
Yeah.
And and it's definitely developed over the years. Like, what did you start with when you first went to market, or when you first came onto the scene? What were you selling?
A lot of the cheeses we still sell now.
Right.
Like some of the firm cheeses, the Borenkaas, Amsterdammer, the various Verdelais, the flavored cheeses. We've changed some over the years, but those ones were staples and still remain that way. And our signature cheese is still the Comox Brie.
Right.
That's our biggest seller. And I think that's what most people recognize. We sell it throughout Western Canada and Ontario. So
really?
Yeah.
As far as West, as wow. Yeah. I had no idea that it was anything beyond BC. I've seen it in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that it would branch that far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No, we've been selling to a distributor in Toronto for 3-4 years now.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's interesting selling in, say, Alberta, because we have a lot of people that come to the Valley and that vacation here from Calgary and Edmonton. So they would come into the cheese plant, and I'd say, well, you can pick it up in Calgary. And, I can? And they see their eyes go, big saucers and that. So it's kind of neat to interact with people from different parts of the country. And
absolutely. And to know that you have fans all across the country, that's great.
Yeah. I had an email from a lady that had lived here and moved up to Yellowknife.
Oh, wow.
And she sent an email, I can get your cheese here.
Really? Wow, that's great. Yeah. So. Wow. And okay, so you started off with a couple of products that you still have. And along the way, I'm assuming there was some experimentation with newer products.
Yes.
Where are you now? How many, how many regular products, how many regular varieties of cheese do you do?
About 25.
25.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I thought I'd tried them all, but I would say I've probably had maybe 12, 13 of your cheeses. So,
well, some of them are, shall we say, under development.
Right.
And we only sell them ourselves.
Right.
So if you come to the plant or you come to the farm market, you can try something that we're working on. Like, for example, with water buffalo milk, we make feta, we make a Swiss, we make a Colby.
Right.
We make cream cheese. So all of those ones, we're working on them. We do it small scale.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to try those things, you got to kind of hunt us out a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, wow. And like for what I've brought today, we've done yogurt with the McClintocks. So they have the local farm that has water buffalo.
Right.
And we talked about doing yogurt, and I just didn't have the time to market it properly.
Right.
And so they've taken that on as a product. So we make it. They do the sales and marketing, and we sort of work together as a collaboration. So, and it's a wonderful yogurt.
What do you think, what could you speak of to the difference of, say, what, you know, traditional yogurt that other people might be, like, what would be the difference there?
It's a very thick, rich milk, so right. It makes a very rich yogurt. It's has a sweetness to it with no sweetening. It's just milk and culture. It's the
really?
Cleanest yogurt you'll get. There's no... no fillers, no added powdered milks.
Right.
It's not strained. It's there's no emulsifiers. It's just the way it should be. Milk and culture.
And, nice. Seems like an opportunity to try it, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Guys, go grab a spoonful.
All right. That sounds like a great idea.
So. Yeah. And you'll notice that there's cream on the top.
Oh, yeah.
And the color is a nice ivory white, and that's very characteristic of buffalo milk, where you can see compare it to the color of a cow milk cheese. The cow milk has that creamy yellow color.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
it's good.
So it's got that that richness. It's a high protein, high fat milk. So that's
right.
what does it. So.
Almost, it's almost reminiscent of somewhere between yogurt and sour cream, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that for sure.
Yeah.
It's great. It's
definitely got I love the cream top on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice and, yeah. I could eat most of that right now.
Yeah. Well, it's virtually butter, so.
Right.
I mean, that's something I think.
That's great. That seems like a pretty versatile product.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
So is it a more of a challenge to work with water buffalo?
Oh yeah.
Is it?
It's we've been making the mozzarella for many years.
Which I love that.
And every once in a while, you know, the milk will change, whether it's a seasonal or feed thing, and all of a sudden what worked last week doesn't work this week.
Oh wow.
You know, and it's just inherently I think it's just the way the milk is. It's the high levels of fat and protein,
right?
And I would say our cheesemaker Paul Sutter, he does a pretty good job with it, and it's not very often he gets buffaloed, but right. Every once in a while it's just like
oh yeah,
but right. Yeah, you know, it's just the nature of the way it is, and. But we're committed to always do 100% water buffalo milk
right.
Mozzarella, and that's one of the things that can happen.
Wow! So they're providing the milk at I forgot the name of the farm.
McClintock's,
right?
Yeah.
Are they having difficulties, being that it's not really an industry that's very large here? I can imagine that they had to sort of start from scratch themselves. Mustn't be an easy process.
It's an industry that's growing, and it's under development. So
right.
We can only grow together, and it's them, and there's two other farms on the Vancouver Island that have water buffalo. We can only grow as fast as people
right.
buy water buffalo milk cheese.
Right.
And it's pretty new.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, okay, mozzarella di bufala is a very traditional Italian product, and you right. go to Italy, it's all over the place. Well,
right.
it's not on people's radar screens here, right. really.
Right.
And yogurt, you know, all the other different things we make with the buffalo cheese or buffalo milk, makes some really neat cheese.
Right.
But
again, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get it out there.
Yeah. You need that exposure.
Finding that market, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And all right, well, being that we're in that trying or testing phase, you've brought a few other products.
Yeah, we've got one of our Comox Brie.
Right,
and the so this
cornerstone
is,
product of yeah, yours.
And it's one of our award winners. We've won several different Canadian and international awards over the years with the Comox Brie.
That's fantastic.
2008, We won a world gold medal at the World Cheese Championships.
Wow.
In Wisconsin. So
this holds up against like traditional French brie.
Yeah.
This obviously if you're taking home gold medals.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's
while we're talking
eat
now.
Away. Eat away. And it's one of those things where we will always make a soft cheese of one kind or another. It's
right.
What I would think is becoming a staple for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we started in 2001 and people would look at it and go, well, what's that white stuff on the outside? Yeah. Well, it's a mold. Ooh, can I eat it?
Right.
Yep. And now, I'll get kids come up to me in the farm market and I'll ask them, what's your favorite cheese? Brie.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's a big change in culture in 15 years.
Absolutely.
In the valley. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Not to derail this at all, but I do have a sushi truck. And I also do some sushi contracts with various schools in the community. And there's a definite line. So the grade, at this point, it's the grade 5 and unders order the sushi. Grade 6, not interested.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when I first started doing it, it was grade 3 and unders. But now that they're aging, there's that definite line. Like all of a sudden there's that... that group that just sushi is just part of their vocabulary.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like a natural to them to order it. Whereas there's that definite line, the grade 4s and up when I started, it just wasn't in their vocabulary. So I imagine it's the same thing probably with what you're faced right now with the buffalo milk.
Yeah.
And again, probably what you faced with the brie back in the day when you got started.
Yeah. And I would anticipate for most children, mm-hmm. They don't like a strong flavored cheese. And if you get a brie that's younger, it's not going to be strong.
Right.
You want it strong? Well, you just let it age. And right. It's like 2-3 weeks, it'll go from, it's got a little bit of flavor to totally funky.
Right.
And,
yeah.
It can age that fast. And,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brilliant cheese. That's amazing. The creamy, everything.
Well, I use a lot of it at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a bit of a staple on the menu for a lot of people.
I think we actually have an entire appetizer based around it.
We have a garlic and brie, which is just roasted garlic and brie, is there anything better?
And I appreciate that. I mean, you guys have been buying our brie for a long time.
Yeah.
And, because it was not easy to get started.
Right.
We thought... Okay, we make some cheese and, we'll take it down to the, the grocery store.
Right.
And they say, you want to buy some cheese made here in Courtney? And they go, no.
Really?
Oh, really? Why not? Well, we don't buy from you guys. We buy from the big guys.
Right. Right.
And, it was like, okay, well, now we can make the cheese. Who's going
to
buy it?
Who's going to buy it?
And... I give a shout out to Edible Island. They were one of our first customers.
Oh, that's great.
And there was...
And I mean, things have obviously changed. Before it was, there was a time when buying from some small local upstart would have seemed, there wouldn't have been much support. And now we're in a climate where supporting local has become, a great focus. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. We were in Thrifty's the other day. Actually, it was after you and I had our first conversation, and we were in Thrifty's the other day. And my daughter, she's like, "What are all these people?" And I looked around, and there's poster boards everywhere of various people. And I'm like, "I don't know." And I'm looking, and I'm like, "Oh well, there's Matt Phillips, and there's and I'm recognizing that there are all these island food producers."
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, and there's, I just spoke to him today. He's going to come on the show. There's Doug. And immediately she's like, the cheese guy? Do we get the cheese? So she's outside waiting for to see if there's any cheese after.
But there will be some.
There they are. Sorry to get off the topic, but there they are now because that is the climate. They're embracing local, and that must be fantastic for you to go, and a little bittersweet, right? You as you're getting started, nobody wanted to help you out. And now that you're there, everybody's proud to be like, oh, well, we carry your products.
Yeah. But it, you know, it's, we survived those early years.
Right.
And so we can be very thankful for certainly the people in the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island that did support us.
Right.
You know, Thrifties back in the day, they did get on board with us. And, right. and once they took us on, well, all the other chains sort of looked at them and go, well, if Thrifties is carrying these right. guys, we better too.
Yeah. Because for as long as I can remember, Thrifties has had your Brie. Like, I don't know what else they've carried. I don't remember offhand, but I know that they've had your Brie for like at least 5 or 6 years when I started looking.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they've been, I'm not sure what year they actually started buying, but probably about 2003 maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. But it was just an off chance that my brother was doing a radio interview on CBC and Alex Campbell Jr., who was the owner, right. was on the same program.
Oh, wow.
And so it was more of a matter of, I like what you guys are talking about. He came up, had a look at around the plant and he just got on the phone and said, okay, I want these guys in. And we were in.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it was...
Your big break.
It was our big break.
That's awesome.
Know?
Yeah.
And otherwise, I mean, some stores, they'd go, well, there's this listing fee you have to pay just to get your name on the list.
Right.
And you may not get into any stores.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, we can't afford that.
Yeah, exactly. That's not necessarily in the budget of a business that started.
Well, I like the fact that you guys are down at the farmer's market every weekend. So
yeah, and I think so long as we've got the energy to do it, mm-hmm. we'll keep doing it. I do the winter markets. My brother does the summer markets. So we kind of do split it off a bit. But
right,
it's. You know, I mean, it is, it's another work day.
Yeah, right.
You know, you may think, well, it's only 3 hours or whatever, but it's the time involved beforehand, afterhand, and
right.
And it is tiring. It's sort of that's my Saturday's work, even
right.
though it's only a few hours, but I'm usually pretty tired after that.
So. Well, it's coming at the end of your work week, right?
It's not
after a day or two of rest. It's the tail end of it. So yeah absolutely.
But it's a fun place to go. I mean, I do enjoy it most of the time. It's 'cause the people there, they're pleasant. They're happy to be there. They're interested in what's going right. on. And so it's when, especially in the wintertime, when nobody shows up and I go, I don't want to be here because nobody wants to play with me.
I think we'll see a bit of a tidal change there too. I think that it's not just on people, you know, I think the next 2 years, they'll see a lot of support for the winter market too. Because I agree, the winter market doesn't have a lot of support.
No.
But yeah, as people keep moving more and more towards that, instead of it just being sort of an underground or a groundswell, it's becoming more in the social conscious. A mm-hmm. lot of people everywhere, you know, and talk about it, not just locally, but in the media, everywhere. It's about supporting your local farmers. You're supporting your local food producers.
Yeah.
We'll just see that move more towards that, which is great. You know, mm-hmm. it's about time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually if this past winter is any indication, the number of vendors is growing. I think we're outgrowing the Native Sons Hall.
Right.
You know, they actually had vendors outside all
right.
winter.
Yeah.
Kudos for them for braving it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's at some point, I guess we, you know, how big can it grow?
Right. Right. That's true.
And it's kind of interesting because now we've got where the market's allowed to have the alcohol vendors. So there's wineries, there's
right.
the
Wayward Distillers.
Yeah. And the vodka and so that's you know, it just brings more variety to the farm market, so
I find it kind of rounds it out. You've kind of got a little bit of everything.
It seems more of like a shopping trip, whereas before I mean, you know, you can disagree with me, but it felt more like you had to go out of your way to go grab those few things that you wanted in your kitchen, And it seemed to kind of could be a chore. And now it seems like you go there and it's like, oh, it's just like a shopping trip. Like it's just like going to a grocery store, but more or less all your bases are covered and it feels more full. Like you can go and just, it's a one stop now, I think.
Yeah.
So what's next? What do you have on the horizon?
Well, we're continuing to work with the Water Buffalo Milk. Mm-hmm. That's our probably, I would say for the next several years, our focus on new product development. I'm not sure what kind of products I'd like to be able to do maybe some washed rind style cheeses with the Water Buffalo Milk. We don't have that kind of a facility at the plant currently, so it does entail a bit of work. Maybe we'd try to work with a little bit more on the mozzarella, which is called the pasta filata style of cheese.
Oh, yeah.
So we do fresh mozzarella. I don't know. Maybe we might try different kinds like a scamorzes and that. Maybe try some smoked mozzarellas.
Oh, wow.
Because we have those kinds of things that we can do at the facility.
Right.
We just need to start working on them. But,
wow,
you know, there's, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of kinds of cheese. And right. It's not a matter
trying to find something to do.
Yeah. Try to narrow it down to what works within our facility and our time. But, I know there's an awesome hard cheese out there with Water Buffalo Milk. We just got to get out there and find it. So.
Right.
So all right, we're working at it, and it's not a fast process because some of these cheeses they take a year or more to age.
Right.
So you can make something, and you don't know whether you've made a good cheese or a bad cheese till next year.
Right. You have to wait for it.
Yeah. Wow. So it's a process of patience.
All right.
Well, that was excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming and talking to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, if people, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys to get cheese and such?
Well, we're at most of the retailers in the Comox Valley do carry our cheese.
Right. You mentioned Edible Valley.
Edible Island. No. Quality.
We're Edible Valley. That's yeah. Right. Sorry.
Thrifties, Quality Foods. Even smaller stores like Butcher's Block will carry some of our cheese. So
right.
you just look around.
Or the market.
The farm market, the YIG store in Comox.
Right.
So there's a lot of different vendors. You're always welcome to come to our plant on FIO.
As of late, I've never done that before, but when I realized that I kept missing the market just because the way that my life is, I keep missing the market, and realized that your plant is 2 blocks away. So now once a week, my daughter won't let me pass it by. Like once a week, we have to stop in to buy cheese. So
And we always have something to sample.
Yeah, and that's what she loves too.
Yeah, of course.
The sample, and then we end up buying one of them, whichever her favorite of the samples are.
Yeah. Exact same thing happens to me with my daughter. With daughter. She's in there. And she's
And it's the kind of thing where, you know, there's something special about sharing food with people. I mean, you guys are in the food industry. You know what that is.
Yeah.
And if it happens to be, you know what, you're coming into the cheese shop and, well, let's try something new that we haven't tried before. Hey, if you don't like it, you know, I won't be offended because I know not everybody likes every cheese.
Right.
But be adventurous. Try something new. You might find something that you really like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, my daughter wasn't a big fan of the sharp cheeses, and now Farmhouse is one of her favorites.
Yeah.
You know, she's just developed that taste for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and we're at some of the, a lot of times we'll do, tastings at special events, or usually kinds of things like fundraisers. So right. like we go to like the Whiskey Fest because the Rotary, that's right. a major fundraiser for them. And, right. and we do a couple of events up in Campbell River with the one with the North Island College.
Right.
And Flavor and right. that. So, you know, we try to do those kinds of events and we do support a lot of local charities and
oh yeah, I don't think anybody would ever say anything but except that you're definitely entrenched in local activity. Yeah. You're synonymous with local.
So we, you know, you don't have to look too far.
Yeah. Right.
We're around.
Right. Yeah. Do you have a website or any other way that people can look you up online?
Yeah, we have a website, www.naturalpastures.com. We do have a Facebook page. And sometimes we do have cheeses on special. Right. And probably checking the Facebook page or the website's the best way to see if there's something happening.
Great.
And a lot of times it just might be, you know what, you're only going to find out if you come.
As it should be. There should be rewards for being present.
Absolutely. Being there. And it's you know, local people get to a deal that nobody else will. So
that's great.
Excellent.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Before you go, we have one last cheese I'd like to
try. I've been trying it the whole time. I've been distracted. All right.
You guys have been patient. Go for it.
All right.
So that's the Aged Farmhouse.
Fantastic. This is one of my favorites.
I love the sun.
Just melting on anything.
Yeah.
Vegetables. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Yeah.
Well, with my mouth full, thanks for coming on. And hopefully we can check in with you again, maybe not a year from now, maybe a little earlier than that.
Well,
and see how things are going.
I'm just a phone call away.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you giving me the call, and I'm quite happy to come by again.
Okay. Well, thanks. Okay. This has been the Edible Valley with Doug Smith from Natural Pastures Cheese.
Thank you for listening.